Our goal is to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of all other kind mother sentient beings. It's for that reason we cultivate the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation, and with that kind of motivation we should all participate in this teaching. So it is important for us to think about what kind of spiritual goal or enlightenment that we are seeking, and for what reason. As I just mentioned, that we are seeking complete enlightenment or Buddhahood, and that too for the sake of benefiting other sentient beings. In general, we talk about three vehicles or yanas, tepa in Tibetan, in Buddhism, and these are Shravakayan or hearer's vehicle, Pratyeka Buddhayan or solitary realizer's vehicle, and Mahayan or great vehicle. So each vehicle, as a matter of fact, involves a process and cultivating path that leads us to a particular spiritual destination, or helps us to fulfill a particular spiritual goal. And so in that sense, we often talk about three types of bodhi, literally meaning enlightenment. So the three types of enlightenment are related to the three vehicles. There is enlightenment of hearers or shravakas. There is enlightenment of solitary realizers or Pratyeka Buddhas. And then there is the enlightenment of bodhisattvas. And so those are the three different types of enlightenment.
Yes.
appearance vehicle and solitary realizer's vehicle could lead us to complete freedom or liberation from samsara or cyclic existence. So when we are completely free from cyclic existence or samsara, through such vehicles or paths, we have become what is called arhats or arahants, someone who has destroyed the enemy of delusions in their minds. So the point I'm trying to make here is that by way of following either hearer's vehicle, that is Shravakayan, or solitary realizer's vehicle, that is Pratyeka Buddhayan, that we could liberate or free ourselves from cyclic existence, its suffering, and the causes of suffering, which means that we can free ourselves from contaminated karmic actions and deluded states of mind for good. That being said, these two vehicles, hearers and solitary realizers, they do not lead us to the complete enlightened state. In other words, that we become an arahat or arahant, and we are free from samsara for good, but we are not yet Buddhas, enlightened beings. So then if you wonder if the vehicles of hearers and solitary realizers do not lead to complete enlightened state, then why did Buddha, you know, talk about these vehicles? Why couldn't he have just talked about, in other words, one vehicle only that leads to complete enlightened state? Now here is the reason why Buddha had to talk about three different vehicles and how these vehicles lead to different types of enlightenment. We need to consider the fact that all people or sentient beings do not have the same predispositions or spiritual inclinations. And so it is required that for those people who are not yet ready, so to speak, to be guided straight into the path leading to complete enlightened state, so they need to be led or guided very strategically, if you will, and which suits their predispositions. So it is in that sense Buddha's teachings on the vehicles of hearers and solitary realizers are to be considered as a skillful method or a way eventually leading everybody to follow the vehicle that leads to a complete enlightened state. So Buddha's teachings on the vehicles of hearers and solitary realizers are, in a sense, what you would say, are stepping stone kind of teachings that would guide people eventually to the great vehicle that leads to complete enlightened state. So in terms of, shall we say, short-term perspectives, yes, our teacher, Shakyamuni Buddha, did talk about three vehicles, the vehicles of hearers, solitary realizers, and bodhisattvas, or more of the other two. But in terms of the long-term perspective, what we need to understand is that there is only one ultimate vehicle, one and only one, and that is the great vehicle leading to complete enlightened state.
No. That don't have to work in Matumavati, Junsiantawa yours. Carry is in a single time with a Sanji reach up, a Sanji reach up at a written sage you ever can to sage you ever done. Re Sanya does Sanji combat of you ever losing tongue ever do at loons of my imperial and that gun and losing the Santon de Yoris.
So when we say that in ultimate sense there is one and only one vehicle for everyone, and that is the great vehicle that connects us to complete enlightened state, and that is based upon you know both Buddha's scriptural authority and reasonings. As I was explaining to you the other day, that each and every sentient being has what we call Buddha nature, the seat of enlightenment in their mind. Every sentient being has it. And not only that, every sentient being has the seed of enlightenment in their mind, but that seed could be activated by favorable conditioning factors. So once that seed is activated by favorable conditioning factors and you nurture it, then everybody has the equal chance and opportunity to become a Buddha.
And then send you some of your at the inner, then any two soldier, Turbata, Sambe, any Gombasum, two some gomsi, say Madonna, and of course, any tea, Garcia, Rick the Sayer coverage.
So it is a fact from in a Buddhist perspective that every sentient being, every one of us, every sentient being has Buddha nature or the seat of enlightenment in our mind. Now that being said, the differences that we find among ourselves is that there are those who cultivate favorable conditioning factors to activate and nurture their seed of enlightenment, and then there are others who don't do that. So we do define differences among ourselves in terms of those factors. And so what are the favorable conditioning factors that we need to activate the seed of enlightenment, if you ask? As I was explaining to you the other day, that it is through this threefold approach of listening, contemplation, and meditation that we are able to activate and nurture our seed of enlightenment and enhance it to the greatest extent possible, and where we become an enlightened person. So as we adopt the threefold approach of listening, contemplation, and meditation, in Tibetan called Te Sam Gom Sum, our focus or the goal of adopting this threefold approach is to cultivate bodhicitta, the altruistic mind of enlightenment in our mind, and enhance it. Why? Because without bodhicitta, the altruistic mind of enlightenment, we can never become Buddha. And without bodhicitta, we couldn't enter into the path of bodhisattvas, leading to enlightenment. So therefore, development of bodhicitta is a must, to become a Mahayanist and to reach complete enlightened state, and our listening to teaching, contemplation, and meditation should all be geared towards, this experience of bodhicitta.
Jasi shangyu simbi shiobar loba shiobala, ane shangyu semrangyu shiene, ane lamtala kyugwa. Chunchan, shangyu sen jasi namchi juz, umangyu wano uska nangyo res.
In order to become a Buddha or complete enlightened being or fully awakened being, we must engage in what we call the bodhisattva's deeds or actions to benefit sentient beings. To be able to engage in bodhisattva actions benefiting sentient beings, we must cultivate the altruism or bodhicitta, so without which we couldn't do it. So now you can see the causal link between enlightenment and bodhisattva's actions and bodhisattva's attitude or bodhicitta, as it is clearly stated in the supplement to the middle way or Madhyamika Avatar by great Indian master Chandrakirti, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, which basically said that bodhicitta is the cause which give rise to bodhisattvas.
No, no, soon that the big Shangjis here and you say in tea tola, any, don't you to be here to trust in any, then you put the sun in the Shangjis and don't you to be here and you will soon in Jenny, and then Sanji come to her die, and there's a jungle.
So in other words, if we would like to become a bodhisattva, we must cultivate bodhicitta, because it is the cause that gives rise to bodhisattvas. And we must also keep in our mind that we need to combine bodhicitta with the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is, shunyata or sunata as it is. Because it's through this integrated path of bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond that we must find complete enlightened state, that we must realize or actualize a complete enlightened state.
Tati taranganzu tanghundu chishu son shingara tamal penyak cheto saba inanda, ningba inanda, ngaran chwebe tamal ngara tensu tonya shingye zwa tensu tonya ta me shingye tonya le ta plab zhen shini muzni hubi his.
So as I always do this, at the beginning of at the beginning of my teaching on Sundays, that I talk about certain important themes of Buddhism, which are relevant to everybody, and so this is what I have thought about sharing with you today, and those of you who already know about these things or have heard these teachings before, this would serve as a good reminder for you to refocus your mind on these issues. And for others, these are new teachings, so you can consider this as an advice coming from me.
Returning
to where we left off in this wonderful text, for simplicity's sake, called Personal Advices from Kadamba Geshe's. As we were talking about this last week, that we need to cultivate bodhicitta, the altruistic mind of enlightenment, and stabilize it within our mind. So we were talking about what are the ways or means by which we can cultivate bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude and I mentioned to you that there are two you know, predominant meditational techniques to do that, and one is simply called the six causes and one result meditation technique, in Tibetan called Gyunde Mengatun, and then the other one is called equalizing and exchanging self for others, Dakshin Nyamje. So through these meditation techniques that we should be able to cultivate bodhicitta in our mind.
Dandi, hey, and the teaching susu koya ta malhiya tendek tenda maris gomje ga san ji seru mu ji gongre ma to ma gomna ne lo de chang ri ya maris.
Once again, I want to remind all of ourselves that the purpose of our participating in the teaching is not for some intellectual purpose, you know, to get some new information, to get some kind of intellectual understanding, so that we will be able to, you know, talk about these things with other people, or that we may be able to teach this to others. That's not the purpose or goal of our participating in the teaching. The purpose is and should be, you know, to cultivate, you know, these techniques, and so that we ourselves are able to experience bodhicitta in our mind. So that means we cannot simply engage in this kind of teaching just for intellectual reasons and curiosity, you know, but our motivation and goal is to learn about the techniques, meditation techniques, so that we adopt them, so that we are able to apply these techniques to ourselves and cultivate bodhicitta.
Since that, Junde Menga Ding Lo Goni any Shanju Saint Lo Junsi Tela any Kasing it up, human de la Tangyong Gombat when Dog is cubing, but the Kang Dog is.
So you may remember that last time I said that before we follow, let's say, the six causes and one result meditation technique, we need to prepare our mind for that kind of meditation technique. And the way we do that is we have to cultivate what we call sense of equanimity or balanced state of mind.
That's same Namsadi. Same thing as the Yetel, any Jogotang, Dratang, any Parmasita, Dra Mining, Draw Mining, that and they assume any those in some tongue is human, but can do it.
So, how do we balance our state of mind and in relation to whom, if you ask? Do you remember that I was talking about that we can think of you know, three different people, if you will, in our presence, that there is our very good friend, that there is a stranger who is neither our friend nor our enemy, we don't know this person, and then there is someone we consider as our enemy. So it is in relation to these three different types of beings or people that we try to balance out our attitude, because we have biases, you know, biased attitudes towards them.
That can be any low major being heard. Can be you say na that only the dollar may be controversial. You are may be the chest. You are any permission here. May not die. You are done. Okay. Yaga tsugyama, duga tsugyama, pentang sanguyama, dry sanguyama, chesta, tindiki, pama yavarndoni, tindiki, rang jula, and simki, mandra, chicken, dosin, sum, dustasikin, sum, the was.
So we think about three different people in our presence, a very good friend, a stranger, and an enemy. And then we observe our own attitudes in relation to them. What kind of attitudes do we carry normally in relation to these three different people? And as we do that observation, what we find is that in relation to this whom we consider as our dear and near one, friend, you know, we have attachment. We are very attached to this person, seeing this person as our friend. Now, in relation to the one we consider enemy, you know, we feel angry, hostility, and so, you know, upset. So these are our attitudes in relation to the person who we see as an enemy. Now, in relation to the stranger who is neither friend nor enemy, we have indifferent attitude, meaning that we really don't care what happens to this person. You know, it's just like, you know, we have no interest. So these are the different attitudes or the biases that we observe in our own mind as we relate to these three different people. That's our normal kind of way of thinking, if you like. So as we are doing this kind of a meditation and reflection, and especially when we do meditation to cultivate bodhicitta, we have to do what is called analytical meditation. We simply cannot put our mind in a kind of a single-pointed focus on these themes and then don't think about any other things. We have to analyze, we have to investigate, we have to examine, you see. So we have to do analytical meditation to cultivate bodhicitta. So as we observe our attitudinal reactions towards these three different people, a friend, enemy, and stranger, in order to balance out our attitude towards them, we have to do a lot of analytical thinking. And so our analytical thinking involves, as I was explaining to you the other day, all the possibilities of changes that happen in relationships. We have to consider the possibility that our friend could become an enemy, or our friend was an enemy before, you know, or that the enemy could become a friend, or was a friend before. Or as a matter of fact, as I was telling you last time, where do these friends and enemies come from? If there is a source, so to speak, then it has to be this stranger. You know, a stranger becomes a friend, a stranger becomes an enemy. So therefore, the stranger seems to be that factor or the variable which gives rise to, you know, friendship and hostility, you see. So we have to consider all these, you know, how to say, changing our relationships.
Sit in the Hanala and it and Shizoku.
Of course, you know, we do this kind of analytical meditation in the context of that, you know, there are such things as life before and life after. But if it's really too difficult for us to consider that, you know, how could I, you know, think about who this person, enemy, friend, could have been in my past lives, a friend, enemy, or a stranger, you know, that's like too much above my head. Well, we don't have to be too kind of constricting in that sense. We can just think about this life, and there are plenty of examples that we know and that we hear about how in our society, in our world, that all these changes are happening. Friends becoming enemies, enemy become friends, stranger becoming enemies, stranger becoming friends, and all these things, this influx of things changing around too much, you see. This is what we observe, what we could see in this lifetime.
So that in race and the town, any single tampila, any rank giant, you told us, and so see, me and Tomba Nangi get paid. Someone looked at you, which surely never did that. Tabi Tonga and then any Tanyo Gombe and then Carson, you want the temperance.
So as we train our mind in this way, through this process, and then we try to, as we get really good at balancing out our attitudes towards these three people, then we try to extend the scope of our meditation to include you know, more and more people, more and more beings, and as a matter of fact, all sentient beings. So So now as a result of this kind of meditation, so when we run into any person, that's our enemy, now if we have this changed attitude, instead of seeing this person and becoming unhappy and angry and hostile to this person, if we see this person as good as our friend, seeing our friend, if we have the same attitude towards all beings in our encounters and in our thoughts, then that means really we have developed sense of equanimity. We have developed even-mindedness. We have balanced out our attitudes towards sentient beings. So that is like preparing the groundwork for six courses and one result meditation to develop bodhicitta. So don't include or count this sense of equanimity as one of the 7 points. It is not. It is it is a groundwork that we need to do. It's a preparatory work, if you will. So once we have balanced out our attitudes towards beings, now the first step, which is one of the 6 courses, is to recognize that all sentient beings have been our kind mothers. So when you hear this, maybe you feel this way, that how is that possible? All sentient beings have been my kind mothers. I can only think of one mother, who gave birth to me. So each has got one mother, not 2 mothers or numberless mothers. So if you feel that way, of course, basically that means we are only thinking about here and now, this lifetime, and we are really not considering the existence of previous lives and so forth. So when we think in terms of only one lifetime, of course, there's only one possibility. One could have only one mother. How could one have too many mothers in one lifetime? That is impossibility. So in terms of one lifetime, it is a fact that each person who is born from a mother will have only one mother, couldn't have been born from too many mothers. So in order to recognize all beings as being our mothers, we have to consider the possibilities of life before and life after, how we came into this life from the previous life, and from this life how we will go into next life. So people who do not believe in life before and life after, we can see that it is very difficult and almost inconceivable to understand how all beings could have been our mothers, because they are only concerned with and they know about only this lifetime. So this is like to use an example here, if we pick up a handful of dry dried peas or beans, and we throw them on the wall, hoping that something will stick to the wall, it's not going to happen. So the point I'm trying to make here is that each of us has to really consider the possibility of life before and life after.
That's some aloke. Tandang me in but the some aloke. Hakogra was the Kuba in the matu, the Kuba Hakong man the thing.
As far as this life, who we are right now, right, in our case, we are human beings. That is a fact of life. I think everybody knows that. I don't think any human can be stupid not to know that he or she is a human.
So that the ndi and the shewa ndi condition you tali tambo shewa ndi tsawan de bishi ngena yun set ame ngal ta de garo tambo tambo di yun set ame ngal le yor was.
So when we think about this human life and we try to trace its origin, right, we go, you know, all the way back to, you know, to the womb of our mother, right? That's where it all began.
First time.
Yeah, that is the beginning point.
That is the journey. That is any yundu journey. Ra any condition. San dab tindi, don dab tindi, any ra any parishyo re. Any Michabreve country, Lung Michabreve country is sung to us.
So, how do you think that we conceived in the womb of the mother? Is it something like inanimate objects, they somehow enter into mother's womb and then we grow there? Like maybe some kind of inanimate objects like plants and rocks, you know, got into mother's womb and then somehow magically, you know, a human being developed? Or is it like some kind of elements like wind energy or fire or something got into mother's womb and become a human? So what are the possibilities? How did we conceive in the womb of the mother? And that's the question we need to raise. So we have to understand that, you know, inanimate phenomena or objects which do not have the kind of life, the breathing, what called the kind of conscious life that we have, you know, cannot become humans or cannot become any sentient beings for that matter. So how did we conceive in the womb of the mother? What was there in the first place, you know, that got into mother's womb? Well, there is a point there that what really entered or conceived in the womb of the mother was just a consciousness. And there was nothing else.
So sata dollar sopa ta semega de ta object de ta tinzu ani amengal yoy yamar ti le thoy yamar si chuan sam tang.
Well, I mean, we can understand it pretty much that, you know, inanimate objects couldn't have got into mother's womb in the first place, right? We cannot think that, oh, some kind of a rock, you know, disappeared and got into mother's womb, or some kind of, you know, like, how should I say, other elemental things got into mother's womb. I mean, that's just not a possibility. The point I'm trying to make here is that the consciousness, you know, has its own continuity, and consciousness could not have been a product of inanimate objects. Inanimate objects cannot become consciousness. They do not produce consciousness. Only consciousness could give rise to consciousness.
Rakpe wanted to see the ring and around the same thing was the same thing, and due to the young because Kasan Chungar, Kasan didn't lose in mind the day. That day was.
So, if you try to kind of a thing in a little more, conceptual way that could be more understandable to us is, let's say, when we think of today's mind that we have now. So today's mind is a continuation of yesterday's mind. But where did today's mind of ours come from? From yesterday's mind. So where did that yesterday's mind come from? The day before that. So in that way, we can go back and trace the continuity of our mind.
So the do chega me sente a padu le chi padu ke sente ani ta chewa le msa ame ngal ndu si le ngu res.
So then today's consciousness continues into tomorrow's consciousness and so on, and until we die. So when we die, our consciousness after the death, it goes into what we call partho or intermediate state, and that consciousness in the partho intermediate state, it conceives in the womb of a mother.
So that that condition, shewang hama ke sengu junte yungu yu. So that shewang hama chingye, but you have a sound tongue.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that what entered or conceived in the womb of the mother initially was a consciousness, and that consciousness, must have, continued from previous, consciousness from a consciousness of, from previous lifetime. So that's how the consciousness, has its own continuity. And so that's very important for us to understand and, consider in order to know about life before, life here, and life after.
Tā ngārā tsū kē, shēwā kē dū sē nā, yāntā tē, tā nī yuā mārā, tā sān pē tāl nē pārīs.
So as we trace the origin of life in samsara, or the origin of our consciousness, the beginning of our consciousness, where is the beginning? Let me see it. We cannot find it. There is no beginning, to our consciousness.
You know, sanje ki zigyore, sanje ki heja tanje zigyore, chesa ngarangu shewe ta yantade, you know, the zigyore, the zigyama.
So there is no beginning to our life. It's not that there is, that it's because we, couldn't see it, because there is no beginning to our life in cyclic existence. Why? If there was, then an enlightened mind, or Buddha, should have been able to see it. But Buddha did not see a beginning to a life in samsara. So when we investigate and analyze the situation of samsara, life in samsara, so what is being said and what we come to understand is that life in samsara has no beginning, but it has an end. So when we say that life in samsara is without beginning but with an end, of course we don't know, shouldn't just think it in a very abstract notion. Oh, I see there is something called samsara and some kind of life in samsara, and that has no beginning but has an end. No, we are talking about our own life in samsara. My own life in samsara has no beginning. It is without a beginning. It came from beginninglessness time. Beginningless time, the proper English is. But it has an end.
Sinta yuebet karrisena, rangi ene, koiwe ta ta leta nyomoni wa sene, kadis sebi ina ta rangi koiwe sinta tu zobris, sebris.
So how can we say there is an end to our life in samsara? That's because whenever we exhaust contaminated karmic actions and delusions from within our mind, whenever we put an end to contaminated karmic actions and delusions, that is when we see the end of life in samsara. This is where we get out of samsara.
COVID nela, hardly maybe, since you saw that COVID in the share, thinking you are married, the mayor.
So, sentient beings have always been in samsara. They could get out of samsara, but there's no way that, somebody was not in samsara and then somehow become the new member of samsara, just came from nowhere. That's not a possibility. Okay. Everybody has been in samsara from beginningless time. Now everybody has a chance to get out of samsara.
nipu sapa tsingi sa kani kani yore tis te kore ne ne kore ne kore ju ne kore kore na isi ne so yumbari matong hema meba sab du kore sab hema meba sab du shiba tani maris kore ne ne yoba tis amerika shiki yore saja gendera shiki yore kawangi na shiki duwas.
So one might wonder, well, how come, you know, there are so many, you know, babies are born, you know, every day. So aren't they the new members of samsara? Not really, because what we have been going through is we're going round and round in samsara. You know, we are born in America, we die here, and we are born in some other part of samsara. You know, people in Europe die and born here, or some other parts of samsara. So basically, we are coming from one state of samsara to, level of existence of samsara into another level of existence of samsara. It's not a case where somebody has never been in samsara and now is born into samsara. That's not the case.
That is wrong. Shiwala ane tanta tam singe thing mangi basan ni song tan ni rang shiwala ane chang me ba shiwa kowe ne le ni shiwala chang me ba shiwala chang me ba yin da rang ma ya an te chang me ba singe yin zu ane chang me ane singe re ya ma re chang me she ba a tene san tan shi ne ane san tan gres ali gom gres.
So because there is no beginning to our life in samsara, which means we have taken countless rebirths in different states of samsara, and every time we were born from a mother, so we needed a mother. So when we have been reborn countless times from the wombs of the mothers, so we have had countless mothers. Okay, so that's how all sentient beings, you know, could have become our mothers, not only once, but many times.
Lower it to Shani Yes, Lucy Shani Yes, Lucy Yes. No, dear, but the sun will have a tongue.
I think it's important to understand how there are different ways of taking rebirth, you know, and there are different states, you know, to be reborn in samsara. So we often talk about four different ways of, you know, being born.
Dikshe.
We talk about four different ways of being born or coming into existence, if you will. There is what we call being born from the womb of a mother. That's how we came into being, as we know. And then there is what we call being born from eggs. And then there is what we call being born from heat. Especially during the summer, we know how much heat is there, and heat generates all kinds of sentient beings. And then there is what we call miraculously born, miraculous rebirth. So born through some miraculous power. So those are the four different ways of being born in samsara.
That jishi ina ko kichun kali ina ko ngayanso nangi kani paman tengu huya maris. Ko tega top kani siyung huyanis.
So those who are born miraculously, of course, they don't need a mom and dad like, you know, we did, right? Those who are born miraculously, whether they are huge size or they are tiny size, doesn't matter. They're just born, you know, miraculously. They didn't need mom and dad.
Jishitali yadu yin yoris, ta? Jishitali yadu yin. Ta duba sing na, nyawala sing na, nyawala na pama yomaris. Ko yung doptika sen yoris.
So being born miraculously, you might think that, oh, that's something great, everything is positive, you know. Now, being miraculously born is of two kinds. There's a good way and there's a bad way. The bad example of being miraculously born is in hell. You see, you don't need mom and dad to be born in hell. You're just born there, miraculously in the hell realms of existence. But the good examples of miraculous rebirth are the many divine beings or the celestial beings. They are born miraculously.
And then, meta tindro namba yes meta tindro le sheni namba yeko shegu yores
tons and treasury of knowledge or Abhidhamma Kosha, it states that humans and animals could have you know could be born through any of those four ways of being born. But the hell beings and the divine beings, they are only born miraculously. So I think I'm just kind of opening the box a little bit, but I'm not going to go into detail if that probably at this point of time might confuse you more.
Rang Sheval is and that te Sheva Tami Malatini, Mati and De Genium Remato, Gebremato, Maki Korakoni, you are Maristat, and here to Tevan with race.
So, why am I talking about these different ways of being born? Is because every time we are born into samsara, it's not a case where we are born through the womb of the mother. There are other ways of being born. But even in the case of being born from the womb of a mother, we have done that countless times. So it's not that one mother has served us countlessly, you know, she has been the only mother, you know, who give birth to here and there and there, there in samsara. That's not what it is. Every time we are born from the womb of a mother in samsara, that being the case, then there is a different mom. Now, if you are thinking some of the minds, you know what, that makes really no sense. How could, because, I mean, there are beings who are males, you know, they don't carry, you know, babies in the wombs. So how could I have been born from my father, you know, like that? Well, in that case, we are really not considering the gender and the relationships change. And a father has not always been a father. Father was a mother, or is a mother, or could be mother, you know. A mother is a father, you know. So it's not the case that father is every time born as a father, or mother is every time born as a mother, you see. Father could be mother in some other lifetime, and mother could be father in some other lifetime. So only when, you see, sentient beings have become our mothers, and we come out of their womb, that's what we say, mother sentient beings.
Sangha yabwa is nustang bhi na ngaran sa chamalo. Chamalo pe rangi pama shebatan, pibinja shebatan, re changme itini chungyar, shediyar.
So if you really think very carefully and deeply, I mean, all these possibilities exist that every sentient being have become our, you know, sibling, or our father, our best friend.
So that today some of the that is any that do any gom jane that today some of my time gom jane is an any now you kill a city can make it on a day that so she might have a night you get a mighty some bit that the key to shake it do not I think it's any my head gombing on the temperance.
So considering all such possibilities that sentient beings, you know, change from one rebirth into another rebirth and our relationships with sentient beings change, so it is in that sense that every sentient being, you know, could have become our mother. And so when we cultivate a lot of analytical meditation in that way and thinking about all the possibilities and options for such a case, and then as our mind is very familiarized with this whole experience, and now when we encounter any person or a being, if we have a sense of feeling, recognition, oh, that's, you know, that sentient being has been my mom, then I think we have developed that what called recognition of sentient beings as having been my mother.
Rang singe tang rang ma yin ba xie su na singe su la yan ne ba xie gu ma re su pe na de su su singe yin ne ba xie su rang pa ma ne ba xie ma nang ki lang san sim lu ko yung gu re jie zang ne ba xie gu ma re su.
So if we develop that much recognition, which is the recognition of all beings as having been our mothers, It will serve a great purpose. I think we will not harm any sentient beings. Just like we don't want to harm our mothers. So now we can't harm any sentient beings because every sentient being has become our mother, and we see every sentient being as a mom. So therefore, we will not hurt them.
So that sentient mama, that sweetness, tell it, never shake Maruasti.
So when we think of, you know, kind mom of this lifetime, I don't think anybody really wants to hurt their kind mom. Or would they?
Yang churan zhu shang na tang xin yang kai xin pa tan tini sen ki tini nungwa tini tini sang gu tou kou nuwa xin yang.
But when I say that, maybe some of you think that, no, come on, there are many, you know, who are hurting their moms and killing them and, you know, or their dad, you know. So that's not true, you know. Do you entertain those thoughts?
That day, Quran zhu ge, when you don't ge, bu ju ta tini ge, ane Quran zhu, that same day, Quran zhu, ne ga ma re, kare zhu, that mi razi wa te ki pa res razi dengi tenzu ke ani sosio ani kare se ta razi vi kabla mil na bashi ta na bashi ge ba sa king mo do was.
Of course, I'm talking about the sane, you know, sanity in us, you know. Any sane person who feels the kindness of the mother or the father is not going to hurt or kill mom and dad, you see, that's what I meant. When insanity strikes us, anything happens and is possible. So the people who harm their mom and dad, you see, they have lost their sanity. You know, they have gone kind of a crazy and delusional. You know, if there is a sanity there, I mean, how could they possibly do that? They can't.
Well, that today that machine gone that you want to understand that my that carry the you learn the three chamber the gone with that three chambers that.
So once we have meditated on the first cause or the step, recognizing all sentient beings as having been our mothers, then the next step or the cause is to remember their kindness. Okay, let's take a moment to reflect on the kindness of our mothers. Maybe I mean, there are many of you who have your, you know, mothers, you know, with you, means they're alive. And then there are those who have, you know, lost their mothers. They're no more with you or with us, but doesn't matter. Let's take a moment to think about our mother and her kindness.
Oh yeah, that teacher we have taken to a young social lepe, teacher we may some taken to a Christian dose.
So what kind of thoughts, you know, arise in your mind? I mean, do you feel like, oh yes, my mom has been very kind to me, or you think that no, she hasn't been kind to me at all? So what kind of thoughts have you generated?
That teacher we is some not yet today ours. Tinchambo me sankit zata sanna narras, lokhiris.
So those who have, you know, felt the kindness of the mother, I mean, that's the right thinking, but those who have thought the mom has not been kind, I mean, that thinking is a wrong thinking. This is what we call distorted thought, lokhshe, wrong perception.
Churansu, tinchambo me sankit junse yanda yuwa maris.
So those who feel that their mom has not been kind to them or wasn't kind, you see, I think you might have your own justification, but your justifications are, you know, fallible. You know, they really cannot justify, justify your standpoint.
Social and drinking chamber men, social and never see and ngoni re da phame ne ba san sing yo ma de yin na she shu san ba ji yo na da ti ni ma ti ge ne ga de sta ge wi cha yo re
so when we objectively assess if you will the mom's kindness of many days, you know, maybe there could be one day or half a day or one time or another time that maybe she seemed to us like she was unkind to us. But that cannot, invalidate the kindness that she has rendered to us over many other days or most of the time.
Thank you, Tundu Yenaya. Rang Pujig Tandala.
I mean, look at the animal world, you see, that mom go to the extent of sacrificing her life in order to protect, nurture her siblings. See, even in the animal world, there is so much mother's kindness.
And so she put the sunya tapki shake the watch. They try to deliver the tables.
So when you watch television, you might have come across how animals in their kingdom of the world is the mothers, you see, they take so much care of their the young ones, the offsprings, that they protect them all the time. If anybody is going to hurt them, the mom just stands there to guard, and she just doesn't escape or run away. She just puts her life on the line, you see, to protect her offsprings.
Maranche, and then draw me any amateur delicious. Rani put Pachavashi. Ran Pumanana ran nanana samba. Pumakina Russian is samba. Putragomaton and Ratona to samba. That nigger pay a money to nigger. Would you deserve to make shagurus? Someone of shagurus.
I believe that our human mothers have been equally kind to us, the human offsprings. That really moms, they have so much care for us that if there is a choice to be made, whether she should go whether her child should go hungry or she should go hungry, she would go hungry for the child. Or if there is an option that whether her child should get sick or she should, she would do it for her child. Or if there is an option that who should die, somebody has to die, her child or herself, she would be ready to die. So mom has so much selfless concern and love and kindness that she has given us.
The dunga is samba mabish and tough zebs, dunga to the zebashini, pute and that gabungani, dunga pute and yomping in a tahar and cake to us.
Look, how much patience mom has, any kind of difficulties that she comes across for the sake of her child, she just goes through all of them and she really, she's ready to, she's very determined to face any difficulties and sacrifices she has to make for her child.
When
I was in Tibet, I remember this one time when I was in the retreat in a study, and from my window I observed that there was a nest bird mom was taking so much care of her, offspring, that she would fly somewhere and come back right away with some food. She would feed the offspring because I could hear the chirping there. See, so I observed it. Then she would fly back and then she would bring some more worms or insects or whatever she could. So she was doing so much that I didn't see her eat, you see, things for herself. So that's how the mom really cared for her little one.
Nengaranso pama my ame ting tanda tengaranso ndusi ya lane susi namche le cheji yabte mi namche cheji yabte ane pam da so mal te ame ting ten shumares.
And now, you know, we have this, we look good, you know, we're healthy and we're walking and we have big mouth and, you know, we can do so many things. But it's all is due to the kindness of our parents, especially mother, you see.
Da ali, da tring churan zong ee kya de, siya zay ma yinba xebas, ma xebas, ane ting chanba, ting yinbo te, Santong, that you said any in the human shaggy. Tandi, and the Kadung, any Shangi Sermuchi, Rangisheva Shag, Riska number Mato Sensuote, Summon, that thing in Larung than those few years.
So today I talked about, the need to cultivate recognition of all sentient beings as having been our mothers and remembering her kindness. So we have to do analytical meditation, finding out all the possibilities to cultivate these, recognitions and understanding. So I will continue explaining the remaining causes and result next time. And what I want you to say is that we should take time to reflect on the things I just explained. I must say that in this wonderful text called Personal Advices from Kadampa Geshe's, where we are right now, we talk about, there's mention of the need to cultivate bodhicitta and stabilize it. But it really doesn't tell us, all the meditation techniques to do that. So I'm supplementing this, teaching from the Lamrim, treatises on the enlightenment, stages of enlightenment. So I'm trying to explain to you how to do that, how to cultivate bodhicitta. So, I have many requests and announcements to make. Okay, first, an announcement. It's more like a reminder for many of you that September 10th, Monday, Geshe-la is giving refuge precepts of vows at 7:30 in the evening at TDL. So people who are, who would like to take the refuge vows, so you are welcome to that. 7:30 p.m. on September 10, Monday. And I have a number of people who have passed away. And some of the names I have are Tom Mudd, passed away recently, Max Roach, Ronald Goldman. And then, of course, we know that over 500 people are known to have died in the Peru earthquake. And many more thousands are become homeless. So we know about the tragedy at the coal mine in Utah, where rescue worker died, and we still didn't find the other people. So we are requested to pray for all of them, both those who are dead and for the victims and the rescuers there. Then I have requests for people who are not feeling well. Nick Omadikov. Then also request for, we hope that Hurricane Dean is not going to hit Jamaica populated island, and because that's going to be a huge tragedy. And then because of all these floodings and monsoons in India and China and I believe Pakistan, many people have died, and thousands have become victimized and homeless. So our prayers have been requested for all of that. So what I want to say to you, you know, is that yes, you know, we feel like a sense of overwhelm that oh, so many people are dead and so many are victimized by all these tragedies and so on. What we really know is very little. It's just a tiny, weeny bit of a thing. When we consider the entire universe, all the world systems in the 10 directions, all of the samsara, is that there is so much suffering. You know, so many die, you know, in different parts of samsara. So much suffering. And when you think about the suffering of the hell beings, you see, there's just constant suffering there, and as in other bad migrations. So we really want to think about all of this, and dedicate our prayers for the well-being of everybody. Those who have died, may they find good rebirths, and those who are sick, may they recover from sickness fast, and those who are dealing with sadness and tragedy, may they be able to overcome their sadness and suffering. Just I've explained, in the teaching today, that all those who have died and those who are suffering, everybody has been our kind mother. So we have this, you know, connection with everybody, and with utmost, sincerity, we should do dedication prayers for them. We should not feel, sense of distance from them, as if like these things happen to people we don't know, or you know. But as a matter of fact, we have to feel like it's like, you know, same as, you know, that our own mothers have died, or that they are going through all these tragedies and suffering, so that we have this sense of closeness with everybody, and dedicate our merits for their well-being.
As always, we dedicate our merit for
the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and other great holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Andorna magi sanji sanji shi dubdan ani shi ji dubada nyome bi dubal toni sanji kumbor mo ki to bi jur chuki.
In short, we dedicate our collective merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of delusions and obscuration to omniscient state, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Yeah.